Hello and welcome back to the Electrical Building Design Show. My name is David Robison and I'm your host. Today we are going to talk about fault calculations. This is a pretty common calculation that you have to do over the course of your electrical building design. You are using the calculated fault values to eventually choose the AIC ratings for your panels. The fault calculation requires modeling your building, collecting your wire lengths, your wire sizes, and inputting that into your calculation model, either an Excel spreadsheet that you've put together or a third-party program that does the calculations for you. It's something that everyone who's doing electrical building design has to think about. I want to talk to you about how you can actually use building information modeling, or BIM, to make your fault calculation process go better. Building information modeling is not something that as electrical engineers, we necessarily enjoy talking about. It's something that the architects have put together and they come to us and they say, we want you to use BIM, we want you to do Revit, and we do it because they ask us to, but a lot of times we don't actually see any benefit from using BIM. But there are opportunities such as fault calculations where BIM actually can come in and make the processes that we're doing as electrical engineers better and more efficient. So previously, you had to collect all of the data about, again, your wire sizes, your wire lengths, your panels, what's connected to what, and take all of that information and input it into some sort of calculator to calculate your fault. This process is tedious, it's time consuming, it's not very much fun. There's lots of opportunity to miskey a value. There's lots of opportunity for something to change over the course of a project and that not get put back into the calculations that you're doing. So you just have all of these chances where errors can be introduced. And if you're not introducing errors, you're just spending a lot of time on this. Building information modeling actually gives you an opportunity to do it faster and eliminate a lot of the errors that you have when doing your fault calculations. There's four pieces of interest when doing your fault analysis that I want to talk about. There are the panels themselves and what's connected to each other. There's the feeder lengths between your panels. There's the feeder sizes, and there are any motors that are in your project. Building information modeling, done right, actually has the opportunity to help you with all four of those areas for your calculations. So the first one, the panels and their connections to each other. If you're doing building information modeling, that's laying out your panels in your building, that's connecting your panels together. If you're doing that in something like Revit, you have all of those panels, you have all of those connections already made. You want to make sure that you're pulling those connections and those panels directly into whatever you are doing for your fault calculations. You don't want to be manually transferring that data. It's in your building information model. You want to reuse that data. That's the whole idea behind BIM. You've got this single source of truth. You want to reuse that for the fault calculations. This is a perfect example of a place where BIM actually adds value to the electrical engineering process. You want to make sure that those panels are coming in to your fault calculations for you. Once you have your panels, then you have the distances between those panels. Again, in building information modeling, you are locating those panels in your model, so you know where they are all located. You can use those locations to calculate those distances. To get a true length, you're going to need to model your conduit. You're probably not going to be doing that, particularly in the beginning of your design stages, but just based upon their locations and either doing a straight line calculation or doing some right angles to account for the walls of the building, you can get something that's going to be close enough for a fault analysis. You wouldn't cut wire based upon those lengths, but just calculating a distance between the two panels is something that you can use for your fault analysis. And again, you want to make sure that those values from your building information model are being moved into your fault calculations without you having to do it. You want that to be happening automatically. The information in BIM is used in your fault calculations and you want to transfer that data. In addition to your feeder lengths, you also have your feeder sizes. The question of where those sizes are set is a little bit tricky. You might be setting that in your building information model if you have a robust enough program that actually has sizes that you can specify and you have good control over. You might just be doing that in your calculation package. So that is a good question of where that information should be set. The highest level of BIM would be to set those values in your model, have that as an intrinsic part of that feeder between those two panels, and then transfer the information to your calculations. depending on what you're using for BIM and the packages and programs that you're using, you might not be able to put that information in a reliable manner. So you might just set those values in your calculation. So you do need one to think about whether that belongs in what you're doing with BIM and the 3D model and everything there, or if that just goes in the calculation package. It can go either way, depending on what you're doing. Then the fourth piece are the motors. Previously, before BIM, motor contributions were, for the most part, ignored for smaller motors because they don't make a big impact. And in terms of modeling in your calculation package, it's kind of tedious to enter all the little motors in your project that aren't going to make a difference anyway. So generally, under, say, 50 horsepower, you're not going to be adding those to your fault calculations. Using BIM, that constraint goes away because in BIM, you are placing your motors. You're specifying your load. You're specifying what they're connected to. All of that information is being created because you have to put those pieces in. You have to get them connected. The feeder and service load calcs are going to depend on knowing that that's a motor because you do some diversity and you do demand factors based upon the fact that it's a motor. So you need to know that it's a motor. Once you know in BIM that it's a motor, that information can then be transferred to your fault calc. So you don't have to play these games where you don't model things in your fault calcs because it was too tedious. It's already been modeled. It just needs to be transferred to the fault calculations. If possible, you want to have a way to take the motor information from BIM to your fault calculations so that the calculations can include all of those motors. Most of them aren't going to matter because they're small, but you'll have them in there and then you don't have to worry about whether you've included the ones that are large enough to make an impact. You can just know that all of your motors are included in your fault calculations. So you can actually improve the fault calculations that you're doing by taking advantage of BIM and using the information that you already have. If you can transfer that information automatically, there's no additional effort to include it in your fault calcs because you have to include it in your model for your circuiting and your feeder and service load calcs. So you already have all that information. You're just then using the information that you already have in a different place in fault calculations to actually improve the output that you have. The way that you actually get that information from BIM to your fault calcs is going to depend on what you're doing for your fault calcs. If it's an Excel spreadsheet that you wrote, you're probably going to have to do some scripting. If you're using Revit, probably in Dynamo, to pull that information from Revit over to your Excel spreadsheet, it's possible to do. If you're using a third-party package, a calculation package outside of Revit, then you're going to have to look and see if they have some sort of integration to pull that information because you have that information and you need to get it to the other place. We have software that we've written, Design Master Electrical for Revit. One of the ideas is that it's running inside of Revit so we can pull all this information from the Revit model and put it directly into the fault calculations that we have. So those are some of the ways that you can do it. The idea, though, is that in building information modeling, there actually is valuable information that you can use in other places so that you're not having to do the data entry, do the data transfer, and take the time to do that and add the possibility of errors when you're transferring the data or errors when you update it in one place and not the other. So those are my thoughts on how you can actually use building information modeling effectively as an electrical engineer, how it can be something that's useful for you in your fault calculations. I hope you can use this information going forward to be a little bit more productive and have a little bit fewer errors when doing your fault calculations. See you next time.